for the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Ben Courtney from Tombstone Factory. You're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Dutch Bahari. You're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Rallis Khan from MadMonsterMasks.com. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Robert from Necrotic Creations, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Monster Matt from Rock Rebel, where we make all your Universal Monsters clothing, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Well, Haunters, it's 2 weeks until the Midwest Haunters Convention, and I'm starting to get a little concerned. The Lady of Darkness has her daughter visiting, so there is double estrogen in the house.
At MHC, I'm rooming with quadruple the estrogen for the weekend. Does this mean my costume ball character is going to be female? Guess we will find out. In the meantime, the ghosts and special correspondents and Tater chat about MHC, what to expect, some changes, and of course, it wouldn't be MHC without shenanigans. Badger wraps up HauntX with several interviews. Storm rants about dead bodies in hotels. And I have a new Legends and Lore. Is it from your home state? Okay, I gotta go. I just started my period.
MHC is coming. What is MHC? The Midwest Haunters Convention, the largest Halloween show of its kind in the U.S., serving haunted attraction industry professionals, home haunters, and enthusiasts. Open to the public, MHC features a trade show, frightfully good education, a chartered bus tour guaranteed to make you scream, and entertainment guaranteed to make you run and hide. And it returns to Columbus, Ohio, May 29th through 31st, 2015, at the Greater Columbus Convention Center and Crown Plaza Hotel for its 12th spooky year. See you there.
Jerry Vane, Cirque du Macabre, from the CD Circus of Nightmares, a Big Scary Show exclusive.
We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here live at Haunt X in Reno, Nevada, which is winding down, checking out with the owner, one of the organizers, Stephen Kohlberg. Been on our show many times talking about Haunt X. Stephen, Haunt X 2.0 is in the books. I had a fantastic time. Most everybody I've talked to said it was much better than last year. You know, first year jitters, everything gets kind of controlled, chaotic and nutty and whatever, but much smoother run this year. Everything seems to have gone a lot better. Of course, I wasn't behind the scenes, but looks like it was a bigger and better show.
It's definitely a bigger show. The numbers are at least double. We're still getting in the numbers, but pre-sales were more than double what we did last year, and we had a ton of walk-ins this year. As for smoother, I think as all haunt owners know, the trick is as long as the audience and the attendees don't see the cracks, everything's okay.
That's true.
So, it was a great show. We had a ton of fun. We are exhausted, but again, it's just like running a haunt, just a little bit different.
You can sleep while driving home, right?
Exactly.
So, what were some of the major changes that were implemented in this year versus last year?
One of the big changes we did was we moved the trade show floor down to 2 days, just Saturday, Sunday. And we turned Friday into bumper-to-bumper education day. What that allowed us to do was play some games with the scheduling where we were better able to fit the content and the time block to the needs of the show.
Sure. So everything was education Friday and then trade show and education on Saturday and Sunday.
Right, exactly.
And it looks like you had good numbers for a lot of the education. The classes I walked past, the classes I taught seem to have, you know, improved numbers from last year.
Yeah, one of the problems for Haunt X 2016 looks to be we've kind of maxed out the classrooms here at Circus Convention Center. We were SRO in about a third or half of our classes already.
Excellent. And, of course, you know, there's two other casinos that are kind of attached to this one that have their own little facilities, so you might have to expand into those. I know one of my classes was in the adjoining casino, but, you know, without going into details, there was that little small where we're not sure if you're supposed to be here or not kind of mix-up.
Right.
But, again, that's just, you know, that's just casino versus casino. But, again, you know, it's a horrible problem to have where you have SRO only in the classrooms.
Yep, yeah. And to be honest, the mistake with your class was wholly my own. I kind of forgot to tell him we were coming early.
Oops, that's okay. Because you were too busy setting up for the, great segue, by the way, the big ball that you had last night that just absolutely was packed. The Midway Games that were put on by Necrotic Creations and your staff and others and stuff. The food was, you know, I've never seen carved roast beef and other delights at a trade show or convention dance like this. So, you know, the food was excellent, the bar was excellent, the games were excellent, the music and everything. Looks like that was a vast improvement over last year.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy with some of the changes we made. Some of the feedback we got was that not everybody dances and not everyone wants to be in an environment that's so loud that they can't talk. Basically, haunt conventions very much are about hanging out with haunters. So what we did was we created what we called the carnival, which was adjacent but separate from the main ballroom. And we put games in there, we put cocktail tables in there, and people were able to hang out and actually talk. The music kind of bled through, but at a decent level. And I think we managed to hit, you know, the sweet spot where people who like to dance got to dance. People who like to hang out got to hang out. And the addition of the carnival games, which, as you mentioned, were designed by Necrotic Creations, just kind of changed the pace of the whole show. People had fun.
Excellent. So what can we expect in 2016 with Haunt X version 3?
We're looking for more attendees, of course, more vendors. We, again, almost maxed out the convention center in terms of vendors.
I think I only saw one vendor that was a no-show, and you said that vendor was teaching most of the time, so I can understand that.
That's correct. Actually, we had promised her a table. I had a little extra space, and she just wasn't prepared to staff a table for the entire show. But, in fact, it's kind of fun. The vendor involved it goes by the name of the Homicidal Homemaker. And she taught a class in how to throw a better Halloween party. And she also taught a class on Halloween-themed food and, sure. and snacks.
And that probably should lead into the infamous or soon-to-be-infamous mixology classes that were taught here this year that must come back next year.
Yes, those were, I'm told, were a big hit.
They were a big something.
Yes, it was the Battle of the Steves, Steve O from the Garage of Evil, Steve Kahlberg from Scary Tinker Labs, and Steve Kochi from Haunt Hackers were all taught how to mix Halloween drinks, and then we shared them with the audience.
Oh, there was a lot of sharing going on.
There, well,
yes, there was. 21 and over must attend this next year, though.
Yes, indeed. So we had a blast with it, and The audience members who remember it seem to have had a really good time.
I seem to remember Tater was a guest bartender. Yes, he was and is. But he was a special guest bartender at the second version of it and created some interesting things, so to speak. But there you go.
Steve didn't know I was a guest bartender.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now you do. Hey, surprise.
Well, Tater is actually famous for his custom drinks. The trademark Bloody Flow is a Tater original.
That is a Tater original created at Haunt X1, so we were the genesis of that, so hopefully that will continue as a tradition in Haunt X's to come.
Yes, it will. as long as Tater has a creative imagination, we're good for a new drink every year.
He's got something there. Anyway, So any more changes that you can think of off the top of your head or that you know of are going to be happening for 2016's Haunt X?
Nothing I can share at this point. Oh, you know what I do want to say was we did a scavenger hunt this year, and the feedback was just excellent. We used an app called Goose Chase, and the app manages the scavengers going out after specific tasks. The fun part was we had a Garage of Evil mixer sponsored by Fright Props, and the audience was able to watch in real time the pictures roll in.
There was some neat stuff there.
And then the audience could be as cruel or as kind as they chose and add and subtract points from the different teams. So what we had was basically everyone at the show on Friday night was participating in the scavenger hunt either physically or through scoring and mocking, I guess.
And I assume that'll be back next year.
It was a huge success, so absolutely.
Excellent. Well, again, Steve Kahlberg, again, congratulations on a great second effort for Haunt X. I'm glad that it has turned out better than anticipated at this point, even though we don't know final numbers. But again, everybody is seeming happy at this point. I saw a lot of walk-in traffic. I saw a lot of people who had never seen something like this. You know, a lot of people were in town for various functions and just was like, well, let's go see what this is all about. So this was kind of cool, and I wish you nothing but success with Haunt X 2016. Please let us know when you have information, and we'll certainly get it out there on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCharon, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start out with some news from Netherworld in Atlanta. The themes for the 2015 season at Netherworld have now been announced. Upstairs, you will experience the rotting. The witches have released vast armies of spirits from the depths of the Netherworld to appease the dead ones, and these spirits must feed. Drawn to the life force of human beings, they drain the energy, causing their victims to suffer the rotting, a decay of the body accompanied by a ravenous hunger. A supernatural investigative team called Ghost has discovered the supernatural source of the plague, but will the cure be worse than the disease? New horrific experiences in the rotting include the Phantom Energy Chamber, the Mummy's Curse, the Spectral Gallery, the Sinking Tombs of Wishburg, the Bostwick's Revenge, the Alien Flesh Lamb, the Slithering Soul Eater, Engulfed by the Shaggoth, the Arena of Ghosts, the Walk of Peril, the Elder Thing, the Rotting Dead, and the War Wraiths. A supernatural shock fest full to the brim with never-ending terror. Downstairs, will you be brave enough to visit Vault 13 Unearthed? Before the Mangler began torturing human beings, he created an artificial intelligence called Typhon to experiment on and drove it completely insane. It evolved into a living computer virus and sought out its creator, demanding a body. Enraged at the Mangler's lack of response, Typhon reactivated Vault 13 and commanded secret ops security teams to capture the Mangler and his clone creations. Successfully locking them in Vault 13, it continued its quest to create a living body and take revenge on the entire human race. New dark secrets of Vault 13 include the Elevator of Death, the Toxic Foam Room, the Invincible Torg, the Hideous Hatchling, the Mechanoids, the Liver Eater, the Massive Defense Grid, the Hypno Room, the Steel Vault, Nurse Nervosa, Sample V-37, and the Wind Tunnel. A brain-blasting sci-fi horror adventure sure to melt your mind. For more information on these new haunts for the 2015 season at Netherworld, visit www.fearworld.com. We have this hiring news from 100 Acres Manor in Pittsburgh. Want to get paid to scare people? We are seeking enthusiastic candidates to join our scare team. 100 Acres Manor has been named one of America's scariest Halloween attractions by the Travel Channel, USA Today, Yahoo News, and is also one of America's best haunted houses and Pittsburgh's best haunted house by Haunt World Magazine. We are now casting for our 2015 season. Open auditions will be held June 7th from 11 to 3, June 8th from 5:30 to 9:30, and June 9th from 5:30 to 9:30. You must be 18 or older, and please bring a valid photo ID and resume. We look forward to having you on our team this Halloween season. For more information, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/100acres manor. We have an update from Crypticon in Seattle. Crypticon Seattle is proud to present on Saturday, May 23rd, Prom of the Dead 3, Restart Your Heart Masquerade Ball, co-presented by Crypticon and Seattle's Masters of Haunt, Nightmare at Beaver Lake. Featuring live industrial EDM DJs and other spooktastic entertainment, frightening decorations and prom photo booth provided by Nightmare at Beaver Lake Haunted House. For the 21 and over crowd, we have the charity Fear Garden, sponsored by Hilliard's Beer of Ballard, Washington, and all ages are welcome. Separate entrance provided for those under 21. 2015 Prom of the Dead access for all Saturday pass holders for Crypticon. Live undead DJs will keep you shambling the night away. And be sure to stop by the Nightmare at Beaver Lake photo booth to get your 2015 Prom of the Dead prom picture taken. For more information, go to CrypticonSeattle.com. We have this news from the band GWAR. GWAR announces their 30 Years of Total Domination tour. 30 years have passed since GWAR awoke from the prison of their Antarctic slumber back in 1985. Since that time, the band has used broadswords and guitars to shape the music and culture of mankind. Now, 30 years later, the world sucks more than it ever has, and humans have GWAR to thank. 3 decades of bloodlust, throttling the life from humanity and perverting the human imagination, have left no doubt that GWAR rules supreme. What better way to celebrate this momentous occasion than with a spectacular victory lap, bringing death and depravity to cities across America? GWAR's 30 Years of Total Domination Tour is a celebration of unimaginable torment. Expect more blood and bodily fluids than ever before as your lords and masters take on the newest threat to their very existence, the Internet. That's right. Guar is going to kick the internet's ass if they can ever stop jerking off to porn long enough to find it. Support on the tour will come from the Butcher Babies and Battlecross. Their tour kicks off August 25th in Millvale, Pennsylvania, and wraps up September 18th in Rochester, New York. For information and tickets, visit guar.net. We have this hiring news from the Vault of Souls haunted attraction in Tampa, Florida. The Vault of Souls, Tampa's new high-end immersive haunt experience, is auditioning for performers 18 years of age and older to play a variety of roles. There are nearly 40 positions available. Auditions are June 9th, 10th, and 11th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at The Vault, 611 North Franklin Street in downtown Tampa. Hourly pay rates begin at $18 an hour. Prospective specters are asked to prepare and present a two-minute ghost story and be ready for some theatrical improvisation. All our auditions are by appointment only. To make an appointment, actors should email their full name to thevaultofsouls@yahoo.com with the heading TVOS Auditions. Also in the body of the email, they should include their phone number, which of the three evenings they'd like to audition, and a preferred time frame. If an appointment time is available, they will receive confirmation and further instructions via email. For more information, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/thevaultofsouls. We have even more hiring news from the Gateway of Chaos haunted attraction in Malvern, Iowa. Volunteers wanted. Wanted to work in one of the best haunts in southwest Iowa? Find other cool, like-minded humans? Want to see the behind-the-scenes magic? We want you, because what's the fun in being scared when you can do the scaring? Come join us. For more information, go to facebook.com/gatewayofchaos.hauntedhouse. We have this press release from our very own Jerry Vane. Via Jerry Vane, Dateline Las Vegas. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane will be debuting his newest CD, Circus of Nightmares, at the Midwest Haunters Convention on May 30th at the Big Scary Show booth number 227. The sixth release in his catalog, Circus of Nightmares, centers around the traveling circus of death, Cirque du Macabre. Vane actually came up with the idea for the CD while working on The Attic, which was spawned from a photo done by Gothic Noir photographer Lara Dark. The CD cover and interior artwork was done by Bosnian artist Demir Draskovic and features Big Scary Show horror host guest The Sinister Minister on the cover and Big Scary Show's own Storm as The Barker in the artwork. Vane has expanded his sonic palette on Circus of Nightmares with the addition of cellos, strings, harpsichord, organ, and piano, and also finished up his unofficial circus trilogy of songs that started with Cirque de Diablo on Damnation's Embrace, then continued with Parade of the Damned on Soul Collector, and is concluded with The Deadliest Show on Earth, in which all three songs contain the same melody line. The CD will also be used on the MHC pre-show bus tour at the Wicked Clowns and 4D haunted attraction at the Hauntville Haunted House. For more information, you can go to jerryvane.com. And finally, we have some vendor news from Screamline Studios. Midwest Haunters Convention is quickly approaching, and we're currently taking pre-orders for the show. We can only hold orders paid for upfront after that. What's at our booth is a first-come, first-serve basis. If it's sold out, it's gone. We've also boosted our discount to 10%. So to get your 10% and guaranteed hold, order online at ScreamlineStudios.com and use the coupon code MHC. Also, click Pickup for the shipping option. Thank you. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Virgil Franklin. They taste funny on the Big Scary Show.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today. Everyone, Drew Badger here live at HauntX out in Reno, Nevada, and look who you run into when you come to a place like this. None other than super special correspondent Tater out here with Froggy's Fog. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I packed my cape.
We love it when you pack that cape. So you're almost sold out, it looks like, here. Froggy's Fog seems to be doing pretty good, okay, and rather well here at HauntX.
We are. We're doing amazing. We're almost sold out of all the fog juice that we brought. We do have a little bit of sense left, but nothing that we can't get rid of real quick. So you got to make sure you come.
I do need to ask you about last night. Last night was the party, the big masquerade ball. Duane, of course, made an appearance. But, man, Duane has been working out because you had an actual six-pack going on there. And I'm not talking about the drinking kind.
Yeah, Duane had a six-pack. He does not understand that a six-pack of Bud Lights is not the same as a six-pack of abs.
Well, you know, he did have a six-pack in his abs, too.
But he had the six-pack of Bud Lights painted on his abs.
There you go.
Which I found out when you're doing this stuff and you're using brown paint and it's on your stomach and you go into a nice, clean hotel room and you lay on those nice, clean, white sheets to wash your stomach because now it looks like I pooped the bed. Because I have a brown stain on my sheets because of those six-pack of abs.
I'm sure the maids will think, oh, well, that's just obviously body paint or something.
I'm sure they've probably called in the hazmat team. You know.
No doubt there.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that they've called the hazmat team and my room is being bomb tested right now.
But otherwise, HauntX has been going great for you guys, not just Froggy's Fog, but you yourself, you know, you were obviously, Duane was obviously having no pain last night.
He was feeling no pain. I've had a little bit of an allergic reaction, so I had to stay inside the room. So I do not know all of his antics last night.
Right. I've noticed that. You have a little swelling around the eye there.
Yeah, I have a little eye. It was not from a hooker.
That's the official report.
I heard a rumor that Jerry Vane and Jim Millsbaugh were spreading that I tripped and fell into a hooker. and it caused my eye to inflame. But I think it's an allergic reaction from the sheets of the hotel.
Which are probably laden with something, who knows. Some sort of cleaning agent that
you're probably
not used to.
There was a lot of glitter. There was a lot of glitter on the sheets when I got in the room. So
now tell us a little bit about this, which will probably soon be legendary, mixology class that's going on at HauntX.
Yes. Basically, from what I can gather, is they provide you with a bunch of bottles of alcohol and a bartender, and they say, we're going to just teach you how to mix drinks and drink drinks. So...
Seem to be well attended.
I was lucky enough to be a guest bartender. I made a drink that was called the Chupacabra.
Storm will like that.
It was amazingly awful because all it was Jaeger and tequila mixed. There was no juice or any other side of flavoring in it. It was brown.
Say no more.
But we did make the legendary Granny's Heavy Flow.
Granny's Heavy Flow, excellent.
We did show how to do that, so if you missed that, you got to come to HauntX because the recipe is signed, sealed, and delivered here. So
we did post a picture complete with clots on our site.
Awesome.
Awesome. So where will you be heading in the next few weeks? You're going to West Coast. You're going to Midwest. Where is Tater and Froggy's Fog going to be showing up?
I go home for about a week. I fly to Vegas for a Roller Skating Association show down in Vegas, and then I fly directly from Vegas to Portland. Portland back to Columbus, and then I go to West Coast or Midwest. Start on the bus number 2 tour.
Oh Lord!
Bus number 2. You'll be there.
Yes, I will. As well as many other people.
Yes.
And there will be many other things in attendance, especially in clear and colored bottles and various proofs, shall we say?
I do have a call out, Leonard Pickle. If you're listening to this. I understand that I whooped your butt in beer pong last year, so you're a little bit afraid to come back and challenge me at this show. But next year, put on your big boy pants and come play a beer pong match.
Or you could go to Chicago Frights in July.
I don't know if he'll have beer pong there. I heard he's a little bit intimidated by me and my awesome beer pong skills.
Well, who wouldn't be, right?
I know.
Super special correspondent Tater out here at HauntX. My name is Drew Badger. Not sure what just happened in the last 5 minutes, but we'll figure it out later. But we're out.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best rated zombie prompts 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com. Along with the scary creepy clown prompts, the frozen meat locker prompts, the deadly doll prompts, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. CreepyCollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at HauntX in Reno, Nevada, talking a little lower right now because it's a little bit more of a somber subject. There's been a lot of tragedy in the haunt industry over the last year or two. Some actors have been killed. Some accidents have happened. Some places have burned down. And I'm with Dexter Morgan, who is a co-owner of Haunted Fresno, Fresno, California. Some really just terrible luck has happened with you guys.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. It started 2 years ago. We ended up losing our building that we had the haunt in for. It was in there for 7 years. The building was owned by the city, and at one point in time, the city decided that the Fresno Zoo needed it more than we did for their facility vehicles. So they gave us a notice that we had to vacate. So we tore the haunted house apart, which was very, very difficult to do, considering as how it was over 15,000 square feet of haunt, six attractions, and put it into a storage facility. I ended up moving my particular attractions in with Scarecrow in the Bay Area.
So you're planning on opening up with the guys from Scarecrow this fall?
Yeah. Well, I was with them last year at the train station as well. But we're going to be... Moved, so. Yeah, now we've moved again. So I've been looking for a brand new home for Haunted Fresno ever since. Pretty hard to find real estate that wants a haunted house to move in. But in the meantime, about 2.5 months ago, the other owner of Haunted Fresno was driving down the road and he suffered a major stroke. Ended up crashing his car, and by the time they got him to the hospital, it was pretty much too late. The effects had already set in. So he's paralyzed on his left side. He's probably, unfortunately, never going to walk again. And he did massive brain damage to about 50% of his brain. So he has a hard time even speaking in full sentences. So at this point in time, his medical bills are, of course, rising. And we have to sell the haunted house, or at least his three attractions, which were the main attractions in the haunt. We have to sell those to try to recoup some of that cost for the medical bills.
So that's why you're at Haunt X. You've got, like, some stuff here that you're selling. You're taking donations. You're selling T-shirts for Haunted Fresno and merchandise. And
well, actually, I'm not even selling the T-shirts. The T-shirts and everything that are here on the table are free. Oh. We're giving them away. We ask that if you can, that you donate, because 100% of whatever we're taking goes to the owner and his medical bills. But we're not charging for anything. This is nothing here is for sale other than the haunted house.
Right.
But all the other stuff, the T-shirts, the laptop bags, all that stuff, it's free with a suggested donation if you can.
So for anybody who might be looking for a haunted attraction, you just happen to have three very nice ones right here that are currently for sale.
That's correct. It's actually two full-size haunted houses. Each of them was 7,500 square feet. And then the third attraction was a standalone motion simulator ride. We had a custom elevator built.
Oh, nice.
And it's not the airbag type either. You know, a lot of people are familiar with the airbag type. We wanted this to be more of a realistic type, because the airbags tip side to side, which I don't care for.
Right.
So we had a custom one built, and it's on four 1,500-pound air cylinders. So the whole thing's pneumatic, but it's on air cylinders, so it's really, really solid. 10 people ride it at a time. It's capable of lifting 6,000 pounds.
What are some of the things that are for sale in the two other haunted houses?
Well, if you buy everything, and just buy the whole haunt in itself, they're asking $65,000 for it, which is ridiculously inexpensive.
Oh, sure.
It comes with everything, the full sets, the animatronics, the costumes, the makeup, everything that you see as far as, you know, in the pictures here in front of you, which are very, very highly detailed, but even the stuff that you don't see. It includes everything, and from the massive 85-gallon air compressors, we have four of them, all the way to the emergency exit lighting, the fire extinguishers, two 40-foot semi-trailers, a forklift. It's literally everything that you can imagine that you're going to need to open and run a professional haunted house, and ticketing computers, everything.
So for anybody that may be interested, you were thinking of buying some stuff, maybe even, you know, adding on to your additional haunt or getting into the business, you've got one here that's basically ready to go. How can they get a hold of you, contact, maybe see pictures, floor plans, etc.?
Oh, absolutely. You can get a hold of me through email is the best way to do it. My email address is mentalist@comcast.net. That's mentalist at comcast, comcast dot net. Just go ahead and email me. If we do not sell this haunted house in its entirety by next Friday, we are going to have a garage sale, and we're going to piece it out. Unfortunately, time is of the essence, and the medical bills are mounting, and we've got to get rid of it.
So is this going to go up on like an auction site, an eBay type thing, or what?
It's going to be cash and carry at the storage place that it's at in Fresno. We're going to open the doors, and it'll be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event.
Can they get more information again by emailing you?
Absolutely. Just email me at mentalist@comcast.net and just say, hey, Dexter, I'd like to be on the email list for the garage sale, or just can I please get more information? And I'll be more than happy to get it to you as fast as I can.
Well, you know, our thoughts and everything are with the other owner. You know, can't say best wishes for speedy recovery because it looks like that may not happen. But once again, Dexter Morgan, thanks for taking the time to speak to us here about the unfortunate things that have happened with Haunted Fresno. You know, and I wish you with success with moving up to the Bay Area and working with the guys from Scareco, because they're good guys to work with.
They are, and I appreciate it. And just before I let you go, I want to really send out a sincere thank you to Steve Kohlberg and to Garrett Call and everybody here at HauntX. They were kind enough to donate this entire booth space just so we could try to do this and help out the owner of Haunted Fresno. So, guys, you know, I really appreciate it. You're amazing. Thank you very much for everything. And I'll be back at HauntX next year.
Is there any kind of a PayPal or a GoFundMe, anything set up for raising costs for medical bills?
There isn't at this point in time. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of people knew him. He was kind of a behind the scenes guy.
He was the money guy, maybe.
Pretty much. Okay, pretty much. And you know, I ran it for. Hardly anybody ever saw him, and I ran the thing for 4 years. So, you know, that's just how it worked.
All right. Well, once again, mentalist@comcast.net for any information. Two freestanding haunted houses and a ride simulator for sale. Haunted Fresno is no more, unfortunately, but, of course, will be rebuilt and we'll come back again at some place somewhere else in the country.
Or several.
There you go.
Thanks for having me on.
Once again, Dexter, a pleasure to have you here at HauntX in Reno, Nevada. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out. And you know what that music means. It is, of course, time for the Roundtable of Terror. And you know, it's right around the corner. It's the big one, the one we always love to talk about, the Midwest Haunters Convention, Columbus, Ohio, in just, what, a week or two away? It seems hard to believe, but it is finally here. And, you know, last show we had Jen Braverman on talking about it. Thought I would bring on a lot of the hosts and special correspondents that would be attending MHC because, frankly, it's about the only time of the year we all see each other in one place. So no true guests tonight, just a bunch of folks from the show, including Storm.
Greetings from Stormyland.
Who I believe is the one person who's not attending, if I am correct.
It is because of travel costs and, you know,
new home. Well, and
houses are expensive, exactly.
Yeah, that's glad you finally figured that one out.
Well, yeah, I knew that one, but hey, that's how it goes.
There you go. The Unknown Scare Actor, who will be there.
I will be, and I'm in the process of buying a house, but you know what? I live a lot closer, and it doesn't cost as much.
The Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane, who arguably lives the farthest away.
Amen to that.
And a couple of our special correspondents who will be attending, including the Veister, brand new correspondent for us.
Howdy, howdy. This is going to be like our fourth or fifth time out to this, and I always love it.
There you go. And, of course, wouldn't be a convention without super special correspondent, Tater.
My stripper name's Anchovy.
The hell? When you're doing the good drugs, you're supposed to share, man.
Is that not supposed to be?
You were using that at HauntX the other week, weren't you?
Holy hell.
I think Anchovy was making an appearance in Reno at the time.
So wait a minute. Just for the record, and because we are recording this, this would mean that Tater's first pet was named Ann, and he lived on Chovy Street?
One would
right. Say. We'll go with that response.
All right. Anchovy.
I have completely forgotten about that.
I have to ask though, if his stripper name is Anchovy, does he have the clear stripper heels with the goldfish in the sole?
Oh, those rock.
Nope, I've got the clear stripper heels with a slice of pizza in those soles.
I saw no less than three pairs of those for people wandering around the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Oh my gosh, I just wanted to strip those people.
I think one of them was a guy, but that's okay. We're not here to judge. Was not. But anyway, gentlemen and Tater, Midwest Haunters Convention, usually our favorite one of the year. Unfortunately, we won't see Storm this year, but for the first time, well, I saw Jerry a couple weeks ago, hadn't seen, you know, some of you guys in close to a year, it seems. And what are you guys looking forward to for 2015? It does promise to be, if anything, a very interesting convention.
Oh, what was that?
Well, you know,
the cricket will join us.
All kidding aside, I'm interested to see what the vendor floor looks like this year. I mean, I've heard there's some new vendors coming in, some old vendors going out. So the trade show floor ought to be interesting.
It usually is. I mean, I'm hoping it's a little bigger than last year. Last year was really scaled down.
I don't know if it was scaled down necessarily as much as they utilized the floor space a whole lot differently. It did seem a little different, but I don't know if that was, again, because there was less vendors there. Were there less vendors there? Does anybody know?
That would be my impression.
I was told there were more vendors there last year.
It did seem like there was a whole lot of vendors, but, you know, they changed the floor plan up, and they had wider aisles, and it seemed like it went further back than usual.
I think they went wall-to-wall, I don't know if this is correct or not. They went wall-to-wall. And then for Midwest, they never went to wall-to-wall. They just put a black curtain up around.
Yeah.
And I think they went a little bit wider aisles and further back. But this year, they said they sold out and they had to add new vendor spaces.
Interesting.
Excellent. You know, when we had Jen on a couple last show, I think she did say that this was going to be a record number for vendors. So,
yeah.
Does look to be good, and of course we'll have many of our fine sponsors there, Screamline and a bunch of others, and so good to see some of those folks. You know, Jason from Screamline's undergoing some medical issues right now, but I think he's hopefully going to be strong enough to travel and come out and see everybody. And plus we need to restock up on some great prizes, Jim?
Yes, we do.
Starting to run out there a little bit with everybody that's winning all this stuff. But, you know, there's been some chat, too, about Midwest being I hate to say the word controversy, but there does seem to be a little bit going on around there, whether it's the Haunt Tour still only being one day, even though we were told it would be 2 days this year, and there's some other things going around. What are your guys' impressions on that?
As for the bus tour just being 1 day to 2 days, it's always never been about the haunts for me on the tour. I know it's going to sound really crappy, but it's never really been about the haunts. It's always been about the people on the bus to be there and to, you know, be a family.
Nicely put.
The haunts were like a bonus, you know. But getting that hangout time, whether it just be 1 day or 2 days, to decompress, to relax, to unstress before you hit the trade show floor is always what it's been about to me. It sucks that it's only 1 day, but, you know, you got to make do with what you can.
Plus, with the amount of people that are there being on the bus trip, you're actually able to interact with a smaller group and on a more personal level. And in some cases, that's how some deals are made. You're not surrounded by 20, you know,
right.
You know, 20 million people, so to speak. It's just being, you know, not being exact there. But you just, you know, you can make a deal or get a connection going without having somebody coming up to pull that person away.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that, too, you know, Columbus is a good venue. If you go in early and other people come in, too, there's still enough around there and there's still that social aspect and still things where you don't actually have to have a bus tour to get together with some people and get that aspect in there. I mean, this, you know, one of the things that we're talking about with MHC and last year and stuff, too, this does open up the opportunities, especially for any businesses and stuff out there who want to host these types of pre-parties and these types of things to get out there. I mean, you know, even with the previous owners, talking with them, it's tough to get haunts to open up in June. It's tough for them to be open in it. And this year, with it being early, you know, it's tough. I know, you know, the haunts I work for and stuff, if we did a tour out here in Northeast, we'd never be able to get stuff in there. A lot of the haunts, you know, set up, they're at locations which are busy in the summer and have to, you know, the fall becomes a seasonal approach to haunting, especially out here in New England. You know, it's a lot of farms. It's, I mean, you know, the Nightmare New England, which we got to see with Legendary Haunt Tour last year, that's a full golf range and amusement area with go-karts and stuff. You got to wait till fall in the off-season for some of these things. So, you know, while the two-day thing is tough, it was to the point where it probably couldn't happen every year, and this year with the scheduling and the other convention coming into town the week that MHC usually is there, you know, things got to move around. It's tough.
Now keep in mind, too, you know, I don't believe they were doing a two-day tour until the year 2009 or 2010. I know when my first time I went was 2008, and it was still a one-day tour at that point.
The first two-day was, I think, when we went up to Crazy Bob's. It was 2009.
That had to have been 2009. I did not go that year.
Did we go to Haunted Hydro? I don't think we went to Haunted Hydro.
I'm sorry, Ghostly Manor. We went up to Ghostly Manor.
That was 2010.
2009 was out to Kennywood and West Virginia.
That
direction.
So they only did two-day tours for 4 years up until 2013.
And you guys got to remember, Columbus... I mean, there's two haunts near Columbus. There's a Scaratorium, which everybody went to last year, and then there's a Haunted Hoochie. Now, there's a couple smaller ones. You know, there's the Haunted Farm. There's the one out in Pataskala that's up there. But getting those people to agree to open and to staff everything is just not going to happen. And, yeah, we've seen some of these haunts before, but we're seeing some of the haunts that we haven't seen. You know, so we're going to Ghostly Manor again, whoop-de-doo, but they're opening up four of their other shows that we have never seen before.
Yeah, they have was it Lake Erie Fright Fest, where they had last year five different haunts, whereas when we went back in 2010, there was only the one haunt in the one building. You know, I think Jim and I and the Lady of Darkness went through it last year when we went up to go see Midnight Syndicate, and Bill Criscione has expanded that place extremely well. And
oh, it was really good.
I think a lot of people are really going to like this one for Ghostly Manor. If you remember how it was in 2010, they've upped their game a lot. So, and I know that the Hauntville, I don't think any of us have been to. That's Derek Vitus's place, but he's also got Spooky Ranch, which we also went to in 2010, and that's a good haunt. And I know they've done a few changes to it, and they've added a couple of things. I think they've got Bloody Mary's haunt stuff added to that this year. So, either way, it's going to be an interesting tour, 1 day, 2 days, or not. So, I don't know if next year we'll go back to the days of having 15 haunts on the thing. And let's face it, some of the haunts that we've seen over the last few years were probably, what's a good word?
Not safe.
that's a great word. That's a great set of words to use. Filler, I think, is the word I was trying to use. You know, would you rather go see three very good haunts or eight medium to low quality haunts, at least based on what we normally see on tours?
The way I look at it, Badger, is I'm going to be on a bus with 50 other people, some of which I don't know, some of which I do know. If I was sitting at a convention center, you know, I wouldn't go up and talk to these people, but since they're trapped on a bus with me, I'm going to good or bad, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to learn about their haunts. They're going to learn about me, you know, and stuff like that. Where if I'm sitting at a convention center on Thursday night, I'm going to go to dinner with some people from a haunt, but I'm not going to go with people I don't know and get to know them, you know?
Very true. It's going to be basically, hey, I haven't seen you in a couple of months or a couple of years, and it's good to see you, so kind of do the reunion thing, and you know,
and they're still going to stay in that clique. They're not going to branch out where that bus tour allows you to do that.
That may be true. So,
what you're saying is we got to start a meet an unfamiliar haunter thing,
right? If Big Scary Show wants to do a scavenger hunt or something, and say go to a haunt and learn about the haunt that you don't know, you know, I'm sure Froggies would give out like a scent spray or something to somebody that wants to do that, you know, as a prize.
There's an interesting thing we can certainly talk to.
Interesting angle.
Certainly say, hey, somebody meet somebody they do not know on the bus, introduce yourself and learn five very interesting things about them or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Works for me.
You know anybody that might be a bus captain there, Tater?
You know, I've heard that I'm going to be a bus captain, and I heard John Eslich from the Factory of Terror is going to be a bus captain. I heard something about maybe even Ben Armstrong, and I want to say it was Chad Savage was the other bus captain. So
they want to keep
an
eye on Bus 2.
That's a lot of bus captains for Bus 2.
There are four bus captains for four buses. So I'm on Bus 2. I think John's on 4. Chad Savage is on 3, and Ben's on 1 with Kelly.
Interesting.
So I think those are the captains, or at least that's what I was told last I talked to them.
And so. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. So, you know, each bus has its own separate personalities, so to speak. It always seems that bus number two is filled with actors more than owners and tends to be a little bit younger crowd, which we probably, you know, kill that average right there.
You can say the party crowd. Okay, Badger. It's
the
okay.
Party crowd, fine.
Okay. So. I'm bringing the funk CD. It's okay. I'm not going to forget it like I did last year.
We have to have the funk CD.
I have a copy of that.
Bring yours, too, just in case forget mine.
So does anyone with $5 who spend to a gas station in Detroit.
But actually, I got it from Kathy.
Oh, maybe you got the original.
I do.
I've got the remix version.
And if nobody knows what we're talking about, we'll tell you a very interesting story about a liquor store in South Detroit a few years ago. But this
exit,
is either the
Exit 13.
Exit 13, which just got new ownership, by the way. I talked to them at Transworld. They came in on the same flight, and these guys bought it out from the old ownership, so it's now a new owner, and it's a totally revamped haunted house.
Interesting.
But they do know the liquor store that we stopped at.
I'll bet they do. But anyway,
right, we got Friday. We're only on Thursday, Badger. We got to speed this up.
Yes, we do. One thing I did want to bring up on this is that was not mentioned with the conversation with Jen. I don't believe is that there's a lot of people that are having to make a hard decision in going to Midwest this year because this is also the final Great Lakes Fright Fest that's going on just a couple of hours away. That's been around, I believe, 13 years and. Has always been pretty well attended by a lot of people, and I know that a couple of people, including some previous owners of Midwest, were talking about not being able to go because they were going to go to Great Lakes Fright Fest because A, it was the last one, and B, you know, it just seemed like the appropriate thing to do. So, what have you guys heard?
I heard it was the last one. It breaks my heart. Crazy Karen's always taken care of me when I've decided to go up there. She's always made sure that I have everything.
She's a wonderful
but
lady.
I can't afford to go and miss everybody that's going to Midwest. So I might send somebody up there from Froggies, Chris or Adam, or somebody might go up, but I can't do it, and it breaks my heart because those people I've known over the last 3 years that have taken care of me. So,
anybody been to Great Lakes?
Can't say that I have.
No.
No.
Okay. Well, we might have to get Karen on here at some point because she... She did a great job. I never got to go, but I know an awful lot of people who did at one point or another. Because, again, you know, 2 years ago we knew from Kelly that they were going to have to change the dates of Midwest or change the location of Midwest this year because of a larger convention coming in. So there was never an issue. People would go to Great Lakes one weekend, and then a couple weeks later they'd go to Midwest. But this, unfortunately, bad timing, there's an awful lot of... A lot of conflicting feelings for a lot of people, and it's going to be a shame. I know several people who are opting to go to Great Lakes instead of Midwest this year. They say they'll be back, which I have no doubt they will. But, again, sad that we never got a chance to go out there.
As a vendor standpoint, Crazy Karen in Great Lakes, it's going to break my heart because she's a lady, and Badger, and I don't know if you know this, at Transworld or whatever, she would always bring you cookies.
Yes.
And always bring you water and make sure that you're doing okay. She had a survivor kit right there for all the vendors to make sure they're doing okay.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how I met her a couple of years ago for the first time, where she came down and said, you know, bring in your cookies and water. I'm like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Crazy Karen.
Right.
So it was a great thing. But anyway, folks, we'll talk a little bit more about Midwest in just a couple of minutes after we play you a couple of really important messages. You are listening to the Roundtable of Terror with all the hosts and a couple of special correspondents talking Midwest and a couple of other things. Don't go away because we'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back talking Midwest Haunters Convention with the four co-hosts, a couple of special correspondents. Midwest 2015, the host hotel is different. That's another thing that's different about this year versus others. Again, it's sold out. A bunch of other hotels are sold out. What do you guys think is going to happen to, like, the second floor bar at the Hyatt? Do you think that's going to be as crowded? Do you think people are going to congregate more at the host hotel, which the name escapes me at the moment because I got a room at the Drury, as I always do, which is never the host hotel.
The Crown. The Crown's the host hotel.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped by since Columbus is 20 minutes away and checked out the host hotel. It does have a nice indoor-outdoor patio sitting area. Apparently the hotel said they're going to decorate for us as well. So I think the big bar on two, I mean, as great as it was, I do not like paying $8 a beer for whatever I paid. And that hotel across the street at the host hotel now, I think they're going to work with us a lot more than the Hyatt was going to do. But the problem is, you know, we're not going to have that nice outdoor big area. We're going to be squeezed in a bar which happens to have an outdoor area.
Okay.
You know, so no buses, I don't think, this year. I don't think Fear Fair is going to bring their bus because there's just going to be nowhere to park it.
So no hearse or buses parked in that.
They're going to have the hearses on the show floor.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was told. They can park the hearses on the show floor. Buses probably too, but you can't get to them after the show's over.
Sure. Well, that'll be interesting because I remember that the second floor bar always talks about Midwest is usually their second largest income weekend of the year, next to the biker convention that comes in. So it'll be fascinating to see. Do we know if this is going to be a one shot deal or if it's going to go back to the Hyatt next year?
It will be back at the Hyatt, is what I've been told.
I see.
Yeah, I heard that myself.
It's just a one off year, and Jen didn't want to move it.
Well, you know. I mean, I think that was probably the best thing. You know, Kelly was talking a couple of years ago, Kelly Collins, former owner, when he said that 2015 we were either going to have to move the dates or move the location. And he said he had talked to people, and people were like, well, take it to Cincinnati, take it to Indianapolis, move it to, Dayton or Toledo or something, Cleveland. And he was just very, very hesitant to move it out of Columbus.
Well, and also when you move cities and stuff like that, it's a multi-year deal. I mean, you know, these conventions, especially when you work out these deals to have it, it's not like you move it to a city or convention center and, oh, we're just doing 1 year and then back. You know, the incentives and everything are on multi-year contracts. That's how you don't get killed with it. And then you also look at the changes and stuff. You know, MHC, it's lax on some of the restrictions you have to bring stuff on show floors. Other cities and how things are worked out, you can't bring anything on the show floor without it going through a union, going through a trucking company, that type of thing. So, you know, the Columbus Convention Center is a little bit more cost-effective for places like that. I mean, you still got to go through, like, Fern and stuff to get the things, which, you know, is how it works out. But, again, it's working with the schedule and stuff. I'm bummed because there are a lot of neat changes this year, especially what's going on Friday, which I'd really like to experience and see what's going on. I like the change in the seminar schedule. Instead of being the mega seminars that you're locked in, high value, and then you see what it is, it is more like a regular seminar day, which I think is neat for Friday, neat for people getting in there early, experiencing the city and doing the education. But, you know, I got to say, one thing which I would definitely be going on if I could get out to Columbus for that weekend is the paranormal tour down to West Virginia. There, it's the Moundsville Penitentiary. You know, when I first heard paranormal tour, I thought it was Ohio State Reformatory again. Then I look at the website and I go, no, that's West Virginia. It's Moundsville, which Badger, we went to back in 2000. Were you on the tour to West Virginia? No, you weren't.
I did not go on the. Oh no,
that's the one
I was.
Yep, Taylor was there, and honestly, it's neat. It's got the haunting stuff there. The paranormal tour for it is going to be neat. They have so many crazy stories and stuff in that place that just the tour guides have. And I mean, you know, just inspiration for haunts and how hand in hand with the industry that these paranormal investigations and what people are afraid of and what, you know, brings them in, draws them in, some of these stories and stuff. I mean, if you're out there, you're looking to change up your haunt, you're looking to, you know, start something new, these types of tours and places are a good thing for experience and inspiration, no matter what, you know, if you can do it locally, if there are any tours and stuff like that, some of these paranormal conventions that are coming to towns, but this is a neat opportunity, and that place is awesome.
We all know about Jerry's little experience when they went and did a paranormal tour a couple of years ago at the Bisman building. So who knows what kind of spooky, creepy, crazy things are going to happen down at Moundsville.
Well, let me tell you this. I did a private investigation at Moundsville back in 08, I think it was. And I spent the better part of the night there. And first of all, for those of you who've never seen it on Ghost Hunters or anything, it's an immense building.
Is that where MTV recorded the show Fear? I remember there was like a one or two part show.
Yes,
like the first haunted house reality type thing, and that was like the last time I ever watched MTV.
But you know, just from a paranormal aspect. The place was incredible. I got some really good, compelling evidence. I got an amazing EVP. I had a photograph that, you know, I've been having a hard time trying to explain, you know, even 6 years later, 7 years later. I had an experience in the cafeteria, physical experience where I was touched. So,
Bradford Cup.
Yeah. but you know, if you get the opportunity to go on this tour, do so. It is amazing, and you never know what you're going to see, hear, or find.
Go ahead.
I think the guides. One of the stories that. Well, first of all, the TV show Fear, I guess, did some damage to that hotel or to the not the hotel but the prison, is what they were saying. They defaced it a little bit and wrote some things on Sharpie in some of the cells. But the story that stuck with me about the guy that one of the guides told is the prisoners literally built their own prison. They did brick by brick by brick, and they built their own prison. And they the other story that sticks with me is you go into the South Wagon Gate or the North Wagon Gate, I forget which one, and it has the trop floor where they used to hang the people.
Yes.
I distinctly remember seeing that.
Yes, I remember that.
It stuck
vividly.
With me. Yeah.
This is one of the fortress style ones. One of the ones that they built at the end of Civil War, and you know, after that, you know, it is a fortress. It is really incredible.
And for a brief time, it also housed Charles Manson.
Heartwarming.
Well, there you go, folks. If you had any questions as to whether or not to attend the paranormal tour. You shouldn't now. Go and sign up for that. I'm sure tickets are moving pretty quickly, but they may not be sold out yet. So
there are two options on that, which are neat. You know, you can go check it out for the day and then get back into Columbus for like the party at Honda Hoochie, which sounds awesome too when you look at the details. But they also have at least one bus that'd be staying later through the night and doing a evening paranormal investigation. And then they'd get you back in Columbus, you know, at 12 a.m., you know, midnight when everything else gets done too. But, you know, two neat opportunities. You can check it out and still do stuff back in Columbus that night, but, you know, you can hang out there at nighttime. I remember we're leaving the prison like at 10. They'd opened up the haunt for us the year that we went. And, I mean, it just takes on, it has such a presence during the day, but it takes on this different look at night. And that was one of the more impactful and neat locations that just sticks with you. So it's a neat opportunity this year if you have the chance to go do it. And then, you know, that's, you know, if you really miss the two-day tour stuff, that's how you make your own out of it. You got the haunts in one day, and then you do this thing. So it's a pretty neat opportunity. But, I mean, everything Midwest Haunters is a neat opportunity and what you make out of it.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Go ahead. Very, very much in terms of, you know, and this is neither here nor there, but my wife and I, when we've been going, this is going to be like a fourth or fifth rodeo. We've never even dealt with any of the tours or not, and we've been so busy at these things, it's been ridiculous. It's about people. It's about friends. This person wants to go over here across the street. There's this gorgeous, if you get tired of the floor show, there's this wonderful shopping center / restaurant. I can't remember the name of it, but it's right across from the Hyatt.
North Market?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't beat that North Market.
Oh, and, we had lunch there.
Hopefully Jenny's reopens by then.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
For us, it's always been about, like you guys were saying earlier, we never really bother with the tours just because it's not our personal taste. But it's about the people. And this is our chance to reconnect with people we haven't seen in a year. I mean, that's what makes it for us. It always has been. Plus, on top of that, this year we're bringing quite a few of our friends from the haunt we worked last year who want to get more into this, and a couple who are wanting to work at the haunt who want to learn more about the ins and outs of the industry and meet some of the people in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just reading some of the things about the pen, and I forgot there was a riot there that resulted in the new cafeteria, and I forgot about that story. And they said over 100 people, prisoners, have been executed there. So,
wow.
And then on, of course, Friday night, you got the Haunted Hoochie.
Isn't there a zombie walk there, too?
You forgot about the zombie walk. You got a zombie walk going on, and then that leads into the party for the Haunted Hoochie, which you could go through there. And then the after party. But the zombie walk's supposed to be really cool, too. It's you can bring a food item. It's free, but you can bring a food item, and it goes towards the charity events. I forget. I know the party. The booze sales at the party goes to the Ronald McDonald House.
That's cool.
Charity. So, you know, if you buy a beer at the Haunted Hoochie, then proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald Charity House. Cash Benefit also does the Ronald McDonald Charity House at the Zombie Walk.
Right.
And it starts at 6:30. Activity starts at 5. And that's free for anybody that wants to do that. So if you're in town on Friday around 5 o'clock, zombie walk it.
Sometime after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's just one. Just go to MidwestHauntersConvention.com and check out the all the information on that, I'm sure.
There's one thing we can't forget about the Midwest Haunters Convention, and that is the costume ball.
That is a big one.
That is massive.
Yeah, all the costume ball. I saw a list of guys and gals doing the Miss Scary Midwest pageant. There are two guys that I could identify right off the bat doing the Miss Scary Midwest. Will it be a year of the guy this year, or will it go back to women?
Oh, I don't know. Badger's one of them, right?
No, hope not.
Badger is not, no.
Thankfully.
What, no God. Princess Trainwreck?
The Princess retired last year, I told you that.
Okay.
So if anybody wants a hint as to what they are going to dress up as, you know, feel free to drop a teaser right now. Let's see, Tater. Granny or Duane? Let's see. I got a 50% chance of getting it right in some aspect.
Right. And remember, I may be a part of the Midwest pageant. You just never know where Granny or Dwayne's going to show up. So,
or sporting that big six-pack last week, too.
Right.
And I just may or may not be a judge.
Ooh. Yeah, I may or may not be a judge as well.
I'll leave that there.
Breaking news.
I will leave it at that. I may or may not be a judge.
I think we may or may not be a judge together.
I still haven't figured out what a costume what I'm going to wear either. I'll probably just go with my ugly self.
I know what I'm going to go. If you saw Dwayne last week, then chances are 2 weeks from now at Midwest, you'll probably see the other half.
Nice.
Yeah, Dwayne was not sporting a six-pack. That was a pony keg.
No, there was a six-pack. It was
a six-pack.
Well-defined on his,
because
on
I,
his belly.
I forgot the general rule of makeup is if you have brown makeup on your stomach, wash it off before you go to bed. Because when you wake up and get out of bed, then you have a brown stain, and you have to explain that one to housekeeping.
Well, I'm finishing up my costume, where I'm not going to reveal exactly what it is. I will say I will have two lovely ladies with me.
Interesting. Left and right hand?
Mm. So what
you're,
are you doing?
So you didn't have air in Miss Darkness.
But where's Miss Darkness going to go?
Oh, she's going to be on the right side.
Oh, okay. You confused me there when you said two lovely ladies.
It's a good thing she can't hear this, Tater.
There's this thing called playback.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
How about you, Eric? Anything you can reveal?
Let's just say Gallifrey summons.
Oh, nice. And unfortunately, Storm will not be bringing the latest steampunk creation he has done, which, you know, usually are pretty darn genius.
I know. I come up with some neat stuff. I know. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. I haven't come up with a thing for like 2 years, and I've gotten some good masks and stuff, too. I mean, my scarecrow would probably do awesome at the ball. Oh.
There you go. That is true.
Badger, I heard you're going as my stripper name. Anchovy.
You just have to wait and see, my friend.
Bring your
camera. Reveal nothing.
I thought it was pepperoni.
No, anchovy's my stripper.
For the male stripper club.
Pippi Roni. Or Pepe Roni.
Beef-a-roni.
So I've got an idea, okay? For the costume ball, since we have some extra stuff like vintage MHC stuff, remember?
We do.
Go on.
I do. I think we should have a listener that's coming to the show. If they can identify the three of us. I'm just going to say the three ghosts that'll be there. If they can come up to each one of us in our costume and say, I know who you are the unknown's character, or you're Badger, or you're Jerry, then we might have a special vintage MHC memorabilia for him.
Ooh.
I like that. However, can we make it, I know who you are, you're the unknown scare actor, you're Jerry Vane, and you're Beefaroni.
You're giving away too much on the costume here. I'm going to have to adjust the banana hammock here.
He's going Chef Boy or BJ.
So that, I think that'll be a challenge to our listeners out there. It's something vintage MHC, but you've got to identify all three of us.
Ooh, I like that. We will certainly have to talk about that more in detail.
Really, do they get bonus points if they can identify Tater and I?
Everybody knows Tater.
I'm pretty not
but
hidden.
Bonus points for,
there will be
for
some
Eric
first,
might work.
There will be some first-time people, that's true.
And bonus for Eric might work.
There's a handful of people who've never seen Granny. They're the ones not in therapy.
Bonus points if you find Storm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
You did have, what, two people that saw him last year?
Literally.
One thing, too.
It was the best Kelly Collins impression I've ever seen, costume. Man, you did Spike Rip better than he does Spike Rip.
That's true.
But I thought he would be taller.
Anyway. Heat miser.
But guys, I know we're looking forward to having a great time at the Midwest Haunters Convention. Of course, everybody out there, you are invited. Please come by our booth, say hi, record a shout-out for the show. You just might hear yourself over the next few weeks and or months or so. If you've got anything to talk to us about, we'd be more than happy to chat with you. If you got a, if you're a vendor and you've got a new product coming out, or if you've got a new thing that you're adding to your haunt, just tell us about it. You know, all of us will have recorders with us. We'll be more than happy to talk to every one of you. I know that Jim will have his recorder. Jerry will. Beister might have a recorder going on. I don't know if Tater will or not, but we'll talk to anybody who's got something interesting to say. And it looks like it's going to be a great time at Midwest this year. I'm looking at the clock on the wall. We do probably need to start winding this up. So any final thoughts about Midwest Haunters 2015? Again, it looks to be a very interesting year. And like Jen said on the last show, it will be back at the regular weekend in June next year. So
excellent.
Go ahead and start making those plans as well. Final words from anybody, guys?
Well, just remember that, you know, okay, this might be a year of quote-unquote adversity, but order comes from chaos.
Amen to that. This is our first, my wife Lisa and I, first year under the Big Scary Show banner. Come and say hello.
Nobody said you were here under the banner, boy.
Oh, God. Silence through.
Well, one thing I did want to bring up also is that this will also be the debut of the new CD, Circus of Nightmares, which actually, at the time of this taping, arrived in my hands today.
Cannot forget that at all.
I've got them sitting right here in front of me, actually. And I also, at the Hauntville Haunted House on the bus tour, the Wicked Clowns in 4D will be the first haunt to use music from the album.
Nice. You will have copies of old CDs as well, The Attic and
I will have Diablo. Copies of all my will have copies of all my CDs. I just got them repressed and they're here with me. Okay. I will have a couple copies possibly of From Darkness They Become Volume 2 on cassette.
Ooh.
Now, yeah, I only vintage. Have a couple of these. I only have a couple of these only simply because there was an issue trying to get them shipped here from the UK, and they will not be here in time. So I'm actually selling – I will actually have my own personal copies to put out. Like I said, there's only going to be a couple of them. And then also I am going – I'm actually in talks with someone about doing a little bit of a giveaway of the new CD as well for at the convention. But you'll have to pay attention to Twitter for that.
Ooh, so everybody be sure and follow Jerry Vane on Twitter. What's that Twitter handle, by the way?
It's HauntRocker. Twitter.com/HauntRocker.
There you go. So go follow social Jerry on Twitter, rocker. Twitter, the social media whore that he is.
Hashtag HauntRocker.
Yeah, we got to figure out how butts. To use those hashtag things. I don't know.
Hash browns? What?
That sounds good, actually.
Hashtag hash brown.
Hashish.
Anyway, folks, we do need to wind down this round table of terror talking MHC. I do want to thank each and every one of our hosts, including the not attending Storm.
My Storm name. I know. I'm depressed about it. My stripper name is Candy Glitterthong.
God.
I really didn't need that.
There's a visual I cannot picture at all.
Get out of my head! Get out of my head!
I just want to see that costume in 2016.
Steamed because he wants to wear it.
Anyway, the unknown scare actor.
Well, just remember, it's, Badger challenged me a few shows ago to wear my kilt and my hot pink MHC t-shirt on Saturdays in exchange for beer. So, yeah, guess what? Boots, kilt, and hot pink t-shirt, buddy.
And I gave up drinking just for that.
And, it's going to be a half shirt.
I don't think it'll have a choice, will it?
Snap. I think I'm just going to hide.
The Haunster Medalist, Jerry Vane.
I got nothing.
That's what she said.
Oh.
And, of course, we want to thank our special correspondent, Eric the Veister.
I got nothing either. Don't go there.
Too late.
Making his debut under the Big Scary Show banner, whatever the heck that is. And, of course, it wouldn't be a It wouldn't be a great round table in this case without super special correspondent Tater.
I'm going back to being waterboarded with 151.
Nice. And that will probably happen on bus number two. My name bus is Drew two. Badger. Please attend Midwest Haunters Convention. If you haven't made your plans now, please do Midwest Haunters or MidwestHauntersConvention.com. Google it. You'll find it. All the information. Register. Find a hotel somewhere. They're all selling out fast. Go on the paranormal tour. Go on the Friday night tours, the pre-show tours, the masquerade ball. Get on that trade show floor and certainly come by the Big Scary Show booth and say hi. My name is Drew Badger on behalf of the hosts and special correspondents. We'll see you in Midwest in a couple of weeks. And we'll be right back.
One-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here live at HauntX in Reno, Nevada, hanging out with everybody and chatting with all the folks, and saw these guys at HauntCon and saw these guys at, I think, at Transworld, can't remember, but Ben Courtney from the Tombstone Factory. So just some amazing stone tomb looking stuff. Actually not made of stone, which is actually surprising. Ben, how you doing?
Pretty good. How
looks,
are you?
Looks like the show's been good for you. I mean, I keep trying to come by over here and chat with you, but every time I come by, you seem to have somebody here.
It's always fun when you're the only person in the room with a specific product. So, you know, yeah, everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else selling barbells.
No.
So, yeah, I could see that being haunt specific, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we actually did those for a strong man in a carnival style haunt, and so he didn't want to actually be lifting 45 pounds all day long. And
so I would expect it to be a round ball with the word 500 pounds on it for those strongman types.
Yeah, they wanted real ones, so we had to do replica, real standard barbell weights for them.
And speaking of replicas, you've got some of the most realistic looking replica tombstones and crypts and whatever these things are called here that I've ever seen.
Those are crypts. Okay. Yeah. create the realism through robots, basically, and we make a...
Robots build these things?
Robots do most of the work, so we have a big, huge, fancy CNC router, and it carves everything perfectly as if a very, very skilled stonemason carved it in the past, 100 years ago, and then we distress it by hand and create that level of realism that you really can't get without... robot.
At what point will it become self-aware and then you'll be fearing for your life?
So probably in about 20 minutes. We use that thing a lot.
Lovely. But the show's been good. I've been seeing some people walking out of here with some stuff. It looks like, people have been asking about custom work. Is custom work still available?
Custom work is still available. The queue is filling up pretty quick, but, it depends on what it is, when you need it, and how much foam we have left in the shop. We can always buy more, but it's
the old Doritos ad, go ahead and use it, we'll make more.
Yeah, pretty much. So we do a lot of, most of these shows are really just to show the diversity of what our robots can do and what we can create, and so we want to make, the custom signage, like our big archways or the monument signs.
Which are gorgeous.
And we actually have a new flicker circuit that we're developing to make the LEDs, instead of kind of do a fade or a flash, we're going to do a flicker circuit in them to make them look more like fire or candle flickers and stuff. So nice. It's going to look really, really good. We should have that one for
Midwest Haunters. So,
you will be at Midwest.
We'll be at Midwest, yeah.
Any other conventions going on in the next few months before it really gets hard and heavy down build season?
We're planning on going to West Coast in 2 weeks, but not too sure we're going to actually be able to make it just because we do have a lot of custom work and sure. We have to get that done. But we will go to Midwest, and then we will go to Scare LA in August.
Scare LA seems to be a good show. It looks like I might be going out. We'll just have to wait and see. So for people looking at maybe getting some work done, what kind of a turnaround time are they looking at this point?
If you order before, well, it's tough. I mean, we have a pretty good queue going on right now. So if you order within, if you want it by Halloween, you have to order it within the next 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe by the end of July, yes. End of, or so, you know, you'd be end hopefully in good shape.
Yeah, if you order by the end of July, you'll get it by Halloween.
And if somebody wanted to order some custom tombstones, very good looking, very realistic quality, maybe barbells for your strongman or some other things. You've got coffins and giant hooks and some really neat archways for, say, cemeteries or anything like that. How can they get a hold of you guys, social media websites, etc.?
Well, we have a really awesome website, tombstonefactory.com. We're all over Facebook. Instagram is at Tombstone Factory, Facebook / Tombstone Factory. Just Google Tombstone Factory and everything should pop right up.
Absolutely. Ben Courtney, again, thank you. A pleasure to have you here at HauntX. And looking forward to seeing you over the next several years coming here, Midwest and Transworld and many other conventions. But right now we're at HauntX in Reno, Nevada, and we're out.
Midnight Syndicate. Midnight Syndicate. Freak Show. Picked by Ed Douglas. On the Big Scary Show. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here. We are live, technically, here at HauntX in Reno, Nevada, chatting with vendors and everything. I want to speak to this guy at Transworld because I'm a big fan of the band The Damned, and he looks just like Dave Vanian, circa 1987 or so. But it's actually Mad Monster Mask based out of L.A. Mr. Rallis Khan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I am a leftover from the 80s. So
aren't we all when we get into this age demographic and the long hair and everything? It's all good, right?
Now, I saw The Damned's last show about four times.
With Patty Morrison or without?
Without. Yeah.
Well, so therefore,
they've done last show.
Of course.
It's always, oh, we're never coming back. And then he comes back.
Well, we all love The Damned. And if you don't know who they are, first of all, you suck. Second of all, go find them on YouTube or go watch The Young Ones because they rock on that. But Mad Monster Mask with movable jaws. I saw this at Transworld. I was a little intrigued, and you were nowhere to be seen. Your lovely assistant there said that you'll be right back, and then I never saw you again, so I saw you here and had to chat with you. What's going on with these things?
Well, these are really cool. It fills a hole in the haunt industry. It was basically, I was working as a makeup artist, and so many great actors had to work real jobs, and they couldn't show up for 2 hours of makeup or even 10 minutes of makeup. They'd show up after getting off work, feeding the kids, coming, we're opening in 10 minutes. So they get thrown a mask and they can't really interact or emote. So these are actually a two-piece mask. It's a separate jaw and a separate face. And they work together. It's really cool, lightweight. They're made out of latex, so they're inexpensive. So if you drop it on the ground or you sit on it or, you know, you spill something on it, it's not the end of the world. You haven't ruined a $600 to $1,000 silicone mask.
Yeah, you know, there's that $29.99 Party City mask, and then there's that $600 silicone, and there just doesn't seem to be a really good go-between.
And these retail online for $60. We do give discounts at the shows. Like here at HauntX, we're doing 25% off, so they're $45.
Not bad.
It's a steal.
It's a little thicker than a normal latex, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm a stickler for quality because all these are actually pulled out of my production. They're not just display. These, my paint jobs look exactly the way my displays do. The latex is thick and strong. And actually, we were told that people were going to knock us off and we should make these in China and do it ourselves, knock ourselves off, basically rip ourselves off and make it inferior quality. I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. So I'll probably be ripped off and hacked, but that's okay.
Some point.
Mine are still going to be good quality.
So how has the show been for you?
Actually, really good. I was working on a movie because of my real job. So I didn't have time to make a bunch of stock to bring with us. And I thought because I didn't have any cash and carry, I was like, oh, people won't want it. But people are placing orders and it's going really well for us. They actually, you know, they're looking forward to getting it in, you know, in the mail when I have time to get back to the shop and crank them out.
Sure. And what are your hot sellers here? I mean, you've got some just classic-looking Lord Vampires and mummy-looking things and, of course, clowns and demons and various things. Are these based off of any particular characters, things in your head, or what?
Well, actually, our bestseller is Abnormal, and he's a three-faced guy. And that was actually designed, the original idea, there's a band called Lizzie Borden, if you remember the 80s. Yeah. And I make all his masks for his stage show.
Oh, nice.
He called me up. He's like, Rallis, I want a new mask for the opening of my show that really has a splash. And I'm like, okay, what song are you opening up with? And he's like, Abnormal. And it's kind of a Frankenstein. I was like, I got it. He's like, no, wait, Len. I was like, I have the song, you know, because I had the new album. And he's like, okay, you sure? I was like, yeah, don't worry. And I was working on it. I had about 10 days to make the mask. And I have a mold of his head. So I made it all based on him originally.
Oh, wow.
And I went to the show, and at the show, he's like, you got it? I was like, yeah. He's like, can I see it? I said, nope. So 20 minutes before they go on, I go backstage, and I pull it out, and I give it to him. And he's like, oh, my God. He puts it on. His brother sees it. His brother just flips out. So that's disturbing because it's three of Lizzie Borden. And I just loved it. When he came out on stage with it, the audience freaked out. They didn't know where to look and what was going on. So I redid it as a Mad Monster mask based on just more. I've got like a Roman Greco nose, more of a Persian nose, and then a regular nose,
sure,
all kind of blended together. So that's the bestseller. The next one, as you said, was a clown. We have Cut Up the Clown. And what I like about Cut Up the Clown is that his design actually is that the diamonds around his eyes were actually cut into his forehead, and then the skin was peeled down to create the bottom part of the diamond. Yeah,
that's awesome. Then
the red for the mouth is actually blood that's cut from a slit that goes across his top lip and drips down around his chin.
So masks even have a story behind
them. I think way too much about these things. And the Lord Vampire is my favorite. my personal favorite, because I like mean, scary vampires.
That
like,
don't sparkle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I wanted something that was horrific and fierce-looking. So he's my favorite. And the Dolly is another one that's a hot seller. All the ladies seem to like
kind
her.
Kind of a porcelain doll-esque looking yeah. thing.
And she's different. She's actually not latex. She's actually a vacuum form with a poly... what is it? It's a poly resin coating on top of it to give it a real China look. So it really looks like China. Oh, nice. And it makes her more durable that way, too.
Very
nice. And they all have the moving jaws, which is nice.
And so, you know, you're here at Haunt X. You've got, I assume, other conventions coming down the line, Scare LA, or where else will you be displaying?
Yeah, we're definitely doing Scare LA because I'm going to be teaching two seminars there. I'm teaching a seminar here on blood. So I'm giving away 9 DIY blood formulas or do-it-yourself nice. Blood formulas. So people get to go away with something they can create themselves. And then I'm doing a couple of huge seminars on molding and casting, actually, at Scare LA. So I'll be doing that, and we'll have Mad Monster Masks there, too.
Will you be attending other conventions, West Coast or Midwest or any of those?
I am trying to figure that. I think I don't know if I have enough time because I have to make masks. I would love to, but I think my girlfriend would kill me if I didn't make
if
masks.
So, if not, we'll just see you at Transworld next year.
That's true. Or at Scare LA. You're going
to
be at Scare
or
LA?
At Scare, there's an opportunity for me to be at Scare LA. You know, I live in Charlotte, so it's 3,000 miles.
Oh,
but,
that is. Yeah.
But I have got an opportunity to go teach, so we shall see.
Oh, it'd be good
but we'll
to see
what
that.
Happens. Yeah, absolutely. For people wanting more information on Mad Monster Mask or anything like that, maybe blood or find the locations of where you might be teaching some of this stuff, websites, social media, how can people get information?
Well, definitely social media. I'm Rallis Khan on Facebook. I'm Rallis _ Khan on Instagram. That's Rallis _ Khan. It's also the same spelling on Twitter and Facebook, so I think I'm on all those guys. But I have a website called madmonstermasks.com, and that's plural, Mad Monster Masks. And then I do a, you know, a DIY tutorial show on YouTube called The Mad Monster Lab.
Nice.
And I have a website, themadmonsterlab.com. You have to have the in front.
Of course.
But if you Google my name, Rallis Khan, Rallis Khan, it'll pop, all kinds of crap pops. Stuff like porn. No, it's not porn. It's softcore. No. But all you'll find me, and excellent. I'm easy to find.
Well, Rallis Khan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show, madmonstermasks.com, and just look his name up for things like Instagram, Facebook, all that Twitter, and all that good stuff. My name is Drew Badger here at HauntX in Reno, Nevada, and we are out. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to see if you've been listening, and you may have a chance to win a great prize. That's right. It's time for the May edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com. Check out all their great stuff. You'll be glad you did, and you might just win something here. You know how this works? Somewhere in this show is the answer to a question I'm about to ask. Email that question to contest@bigscaryshow.com with your name and number before midnight on May 25th, that's a Monday, and you just might be our winner. So listen carefully, because to win the May edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, you need to know the answer to the following question. In Jerry Vane's press release during the news, he mentions a trilogy of circus songs. Name those songs. As a bonus, Jerry will be sending a copy of Circus of Nightmares to the winner of the May Gruesome Giveaway. If you think you know the answer to that, please email us, contest@bigscaryshow.com, before midnight on May 25th with your name and your number. And of course, we always want to thank Screamline Studios at screamlinestudios.com for being the great provider of prizes here on the May Gruesome Giveaway here on The Big Scary Show. Good luck.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation, based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
All right, Haunters, we're going to move a little bit further north for this episode, and we're going to go to a haunted house hotbed up in Michigan. and we're going to look at a legend called the Michigan Dogman. This information comes to us from cryptids.wikia.com. The Michigan Dogman is a werewolf-type creature first reported in 1887 in Wexford County, Michigan. Sightings have been reported in several locations throughout Michigan, primarily in the northwestern quadrant of the Lower Peninsula. In 1987, the legend of the Michigan Dogman gained popularity when a disc jockey at WTCM-FM recorded a song about the creature and its reported sightings. Steve Cook reported on this and recorded a song called The Legend, which he initially played as an April Fool's Day joke. He based the songs on actual reports of the creature. Cook recorded the song with a keyboard backing and credited it to Bob Farley. After he played the song, Cook received calls from listeners who said that they had encountered a similar creature. And the next week after Cook first played the song, it was the most requested song on the station. He also sold cassettes of the songs for $4 and donated proceeds from the single to an animal shelter. Over the years, Cook has received more than 100 reports of the creature's existence. Cook later added verses to the song in 1997 after hearing a report of an animal break-in by an unknown canine at a cabin in Luther, Michigan. He re-recorded it again in 2007 with a mandolin backing. The first known sightings of the Michigan Dogman occurred, as I stated earlier, in Wexford County in 1887 when two lumberjacks saw a creature whom they described as having a man's body and a dog's head. In 1938, in Paris, Michigan, Robert Fortney was attacked by five wild dogs and said that one of the five walked on two legs. Reports of similar creatures also came from Allegan County in the 1950s and Manistee and Cross Village in 1967. Linda S. Godfrey, in her book, The Beast of Bray Road, compares the Manistee sightings to a similar creature sighted in Wisconsin known as the Beast of Bray Road. In 1961, a night watchman was patrolling a manufacturing plant in Big Rapids, Michigan, when he saw a peculiar figure. At first, he thought it was a person until he saw the dog-like features. He pulled his gun and was about to shoot when he remembered his camera and took it out and took a picture of the horrific beast. The photos have not been analyzed yet, and the photo still remains an unsolved mystery. So, how many of you Michigan haunters have heard of or have seen the Michigan Dogman? Chime in, drop me an email, usa@bigscaryshow.com, and let's move on to the next state.
And remember one thing, haunters. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Enter the Cirque du Macabre. Welcome to Circus of Nightmares, the newest CD from the instrumentalist Jerry Vane. 13 symphonic instrumental tracks perfect for your haunted attraction and royalty free. Physical copies only available at the Midwest Haunters Convention 2015. Digital downloads available on iTunes, Amazon MP3, CD Baby, and JerryVane.com and all major retail sites.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So, it's, you know, we're rounding out the convention season, and there's always something this time of year, and even earlier in the year, that shows up on, like, my social media news feed, which drives me batty. And, you know, God love you all. I honors your family. Love you guys. You know, great. But there is one thing which absolutely drives me nuts. And that's when people start posting pictures of those fake bodies, you know, oh, let's roll up all our sheets and maybe tie an extension cord or something around it to make a head. In your hotel room, oh, this on the bed, wow, look, great,
great idea. Ooh, let's do this. Come on, everybody. Let's do this year after a convention. Come on, everybody. Ooh, I like this picture. This is great. This is a fantastic idea. What the hell is wrong with you people? No, seriously. What do you expect to even accomplish? You know, let's put aside my feeling on, you know, giving people scares when they ain't paying for them. All right, we're just going to put that aside. That's been another rant, and I'm not going to do that one exactly again. No, what the hell is the point of this? All right, you're not around to see anything. Ah, great. Mm-hmm. What's the best case scenario on this guy? Oh, clean person comes in. Looks, look. Oh, those wacky haunters. They're here again. Oh, I almost thought that was a murdered person in our hotel. And look, there they are. Oh, that's a jolly good time. Ooh, scary. Oh, those haunters doing a good job. Here's an extra mint on your pillow next year. No. No, they're like, God damn, these idiots. Now I gotta unroll this and do this. And, you know, the discount's $10 less next year for haunters. You know, especially if they gotta do like 20 or 30 of these in a day. These are people literally have to put up with other people's shit. No, seriously, do you have any idea what other people do to hotel rooms? It's ridiculous. So don't be doing this to these nice, clean people, especially if you're not leaving a fiver or something on the table for them, too. I mean, it's ludicrous. We deal with a-holes at our things. They're people who conduct themselves when they come to haunts inappropriately, so don't conduct yourself inappropriately, you know, at somebody else's place of business. And you know, I find this is one of them. It's just no clue what you're accomplishing in. And then, hey, here's a great idea. Let's make a fake body, and the person who's going to walk in and find has absolutely no idea what we do, alright? So, let's leave the possibility that somebody opens up the door, sees it, slams the door closed, and calls the police. Great, yeah, hotel. It's not like they don't have my credit card number and phone numbers and things. Then your ass is getting detained at the airport while they're trying to figure out if your last hotel room is a murder scene or not. Brilliant. Okay, haunters? Love it. Keep going. Love the enthusiasm. But keep the haunting on the show floor and at your haunt. You know, no need to start, you know, making a whole lot of work for nothing for other people in hotel rooms. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstra medalist Jerry Vane, pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.